seated. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. And you can be seated. 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 Amen. 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 Well, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm glad to be any place where the children of God, the people of God, the brothers and sisters of God are. And you'll be surprised when you go all over the world, you'll see that there are people just like you. They might have a different shade of skin. They might talk a little funny, but they're just like you. They're born again believers, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I appreciate your greeting this evening. I want to first of all thank Pastor Wilkerson, of course, for orchestrating where I would be here on today. And I know nothing gets past him, so whatever I'm doing, he knows about it. And so, you know, he keeps up with me. I don't know how, but he keeps up with me. And I thank him. And then, of course, the staff and faculty and the leadership here. And then, of course, for all of the students, you guys are amazing. I'm just appreciative that I get to have a microscopic influence in your life. And hopefully today, the Word of God will bring something from the Word of God that will be a help to you. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. Brother John, Sister Lily, congratulations on you guys getting ready to get married here. Sister Lily, you don't know me. And she's like, who in the world is this guy? But I have plenty of family members that are in Holland, Michigan, and Zeeland, Michigan. And I was there for 4 years up at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And a lot of my friends live in Zeeland, where you're from. And then I was with the Richmonds last week, and they told me to tell you guys hello. And so I wanted to do that. And then Anish, I don't know where you came from, but praise God for you being here, brother. He found his way here. I don't know where he came from. Normally, he's not here when I'm here, but hey, praise God, brother. He'll be in my class tonight at 7 o'clock, and so I'll see him again tonight. So here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to actually deal with a passage that most of us are familiar with, but I pray that God will give us a fresh look at it. And he would bring this old text from, you know, antiquity, bring it to modernity, make it applicable to our lives today, and see if God wouldn't do something with it. If it doesn't work for you today, I promise you, if you just take it, fold it up, put it in your pocket, tuck it away, you'll use it later. I promise you, because the Word of God is always powerful. It's alive, quick, and sharp. So use it. Chapter 12, verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. Bible says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, though. Such a one was caught up in the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which were not lawful for a man to utter. Of such one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think me above which he seeth me to be, or he that heareth me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations there were given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That word is buffet, not buffet. I know you guys are hungry. They put me up here right before lunch, and they're going to give me this passage anyway. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. For a few moments, I want to talk to us from this sermonic thrust. When weak, then strong. When weak, then strong. Father, I do ask that you would help me now. I pray that you would guide me. I pray, God, that you would give me a clear mind. I pray, God, that you would give me concise speech. I pray, God, that you would give me a compassionate heart for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, God, that you would lead me into your everlasting arms as it relates to this message today. I pray, God, that you would make this message so thin with human wisdom that they could only see Christ through it. I pray, God, that you would just guide and help. And then, God, use your word and make it alive in the hearts of those who are listening. Thank you again for hearing me and being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's a man named Michael Hagman. You guys don't know him, and don't look him up. He's just a regular guy that I was just doing research as preparing for this message. But his name is Michael Hagman, and he has a rare disease called muscular dystrophy. And his form of muscular dystrophy actually has a even more rarer form, and it's called Bethlem myopathy. And so he's not able to use his muscles. When he was young, he found out that he had the opportunity or the gift of artistry. He could paint, or he could draw, or he could color. I think we all can color at a young age. But he had a gift for this. He had a knack for it. And I think my young daughter, she's 7 years old, I believe she has a gift for drawing and things of that nature. And then my two-year-old son, this guy's got a brain that's out of this world. But this man, Michael Hagman, had a gift to draw and to do all of these things, paint and make illustrative items on a large scale. He could do it, but then he was diagnosed with this form of muscular dystrophy, which would prevent him from being able to operate in his gift. And then he lived a life with it for a while. And then somebody came to him, pastor, and they told him of this sort of exoskeletal tendon suit that they had made. It was practically a shirt that had an exoskeleton on it. So the shirt was able to give him strength in areas that he was weak in. This shirt was not just a regular exoskeletal shirt. This shirt actually had some smart technology inside of it. And so the shirt would remember what his last movements were as he was beginning to paint and to draw. And what would happen was the shirt, as it remembered it, it would assist him in the area in which he was weak. This exoskeletal shirt. And this man has become well known for his drawings and his paintings, but it's because of the assistance of the shirt. This morning, I just read into our hearing from 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse number 12 about a man named Paul. If you know anything about him here in the text, he talks about, he's addressing for the second or third time here, he's addressing a crowd of people who has a doubt about him being an apostle. They are doubting his apostleship. And so he has to address them again, and he's trying to address them in a very unique way. You just read the passages there, and I'll give you some insight on it here momentarily. But he's beginning to address them. And, you know, normally when we want to show off how good we are and how much we've done and how astute of a student that we are, we bring out, we in our generation, we would just go to the internet or go to the computer, open up a Word document, and we would type out what we would call a resume. Well, back in their day, the way that they would do things was that they wouldn't necessarily type out. They didn't have the computers or the typewriters back then, you know, back in Pastor Wilkerson's day. No, I'm just kidding. But what they would do, if you wanted to be a leader or if you wanted to be a teacher or somebody in some form of leadership, what you would have to do is memorize your resume. And so when you would come up to a person, they would ask you, hey, where are you from? What do you do? And you would begin to recite all the things that you had done. You would begin to recite your influence. You would begin to recite all of the places you've been, the people that you've learned under, those who were in above you in leadership. This is how they would let people know this is who I am. And of all people, Paul had an opportunity to recite his resume. But I believe that this is a very particular and a bold and a unique pericope. That's just a small passage of scripture pulled out. That's what pericope means. It's a $5 word for a $2 meaning. Okay, here we go. This pericope, he pulls out and God inserts it into his holy writ because he wants us to see something. Paul writes this passage here to give us insight on about how to handle strengths and weaknesses. Paul is addressing people who do not believe in his apostleship. And so instead of him saying, let me preach to you my resume that only shows the good, Paul does something absolutely different. He comes from a different angle. Watch the angle that he comes from. He comes from this angle. He says, I'm really not going to give you a testimony about some weakness that I've overcome. I'm not going to give you a testimony about how good I am at what I do. But rather, I'm going to give you a testimony about a weakness that I am currently dealing with. Now, if I'm not like Paul at all, I'm telling you, for the most part, I'm not going to expose my weaknesses. I'm not going to walk around and tell anybody, hey, this is my area of weakness. This here is my area of weakness. This is where I fall short at. I'm normally not going to do that. But Paul, in proof of his apostleship, he begins to explain to the writers here in Corinth, my strength is actually coming from my weaknesses. He's writing about an active weakness. Let me make application really quickly. I just came to suggest this morning to you that the reality of who you are is going to be found in the weakness that is attached to what you're supposed to do for God. You see, we think that in being strong, we can be great. But God made sure to insert this in his Bible here so that we can see that actually in weakness, I'm made strong. I promise you, I'm going to tell you a secret at the end of the service if I make it there. I got to watch this time very carefully. I'm going to time myself a few minutes here. So let me get this out to you really quickly. All I'm asking you to do, I have a room full of gifted young people. There's a room full of gifted young people. And so all I'm asking you to do today, like the scripture is telling us to do, is to lean into your weakness. Brother James, what in the world are you talking about? Lean into my weakness. I know that there are some people here that can't read as well as other people. There are some people here that can't speak as well as some other people. Some people here that cannot dress as well as other people. Some people here are not as great of a soul winner as some other people. But if you would just lean into your weakness, you will see that your weakness will be all right, because you're not just leaning into your weakness, you're actually leaning on God's strength. When I lean into what I do not know, I'm leaning on what God does know. When I lean into my limitedness, I'm going to lean into or lean on God's limitlessness. When I lean into my weakness, I'm leaning on God's power. Watch this, one more for you. When I lean on my insufficiency, I'm leaning on God's provision. When weak, then strong. The more, I admit, I sent this to my good friend, Brother Terrence, this morning. I said, I hope this makes sense. The more I submit to my notness, that's a word, I looked it up, trust me, I'm not coming saying anything. The more I lean into my notness, the more I can accept God's isness. That's another word, believe it or not. Just look it up on Google once you leave here, not right now. When I lean into my notness, I can lean on God's isness. God wants to do a work with you and I, and he brought you here in this building. You're sitting here today because he's gifted you in certain ways, and you can do things for God, but you can't do it without him. You know, you don't believe me. So Paul wrote this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read what he wrote you. Just 10 chapters back. Let me read this passage that he wrote for us. Here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Now, thanks be unto God, which is always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor in Christ, and in them that are saved, and in them that perish. And unto the one we are a savor of death and on the death, and the other a savor on the life. And then he writes these final words here. Who is sufficient for these things? None of us are sufficient to give the everlasting gospel to anybody else. It's not because you're eloquent. It's not because you know all the verses. It's not because you have some great wisdom or some great power in your own self. The power comes from God. So we go out, we don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ. And when we preach Christ, we watch God's power in people's lives. You watch a whole entire human being go from death unto life. You don't have that within yourself. Your weakness displays God's strength. We're looking here in the passage of scripture, and I believe that this text is really tailored to teach us just simple truths. Here it is. This text is literally giving us a panoramic view of what it looks like. How do we deal with weakness and strength? How do we deal with the strengths that God gives us? But also, how do we deal with those silent weaknesses that we don't want to tell anybody about? I know I'm in the right company here today. Let me give you three thoughts, and I got to be gone. I think I need to go get me some country fried steak with some mashed potatoes and gravy, extra black pepper, a cold sweet tea with the water dripping down off of it, and then I got to get me a nice thick slice of pound cake right after, okay? I'm a small piece of leather, but I'm well put together. I can pack down some food, okay? First thought from the text here. You want to have a proper perspective. You want to see what God thinks about weaknesses and strength. First thought here is you must and I must develop a proper perspective on our strengths and weaknesses. Paul, he's writing here in the text and he says, I know a man who went to heaven about 14 years ago. Now, he's writing this passage. He's writing about a man that went to heaven and the whole time is him. He said, look, this man went and he heard things that can't even be uttered lawfully. There are things that was revealed unto him that he cannot say on earth. There were things that was shown unto him that if he was to tell him, God might kill him. He said, look, listen, it's not expedient. It's not smart for me to boast on these things. I know some things that other people don't. This is what he's saying here. Look in verse number 7. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. He says, look, I was given a thorn in the flesh because of what I know about God. Young people, I came to, let's see here, warn and encourage you that if you're gifted, it also comes with other things connected to your giftedness. It's a package deal. There are some things that just go with your calling that you just don't want to do except be there. Pastor Wilkerson just stood up here and told you wasn't listening. He said, look, man, I was out at the hospital this morning. I was doing this and doing that, doing this. Don't you think this man gets tired? He doesn't do that to impress you. He's doing that because that's what God has called him to do. Now, everybody can't do it. That's why everybody don't do it. But connected to his calling is a package that is not always joyful. And connected to your giftedness and your package that God wants to shoot you out of this building, one day you won't always be sitting here and you won't always hear the testimonies of other brothers and sisters of Christ and all of the things that God is doing just around the corner. And once you're out there by yourself, you're going to be with the Lord. You're going to need to know. I told you, fold this up, put in your pocket, tuck it away for later because you're going to need it. You're going to need to know, God, you gifted me, but in your gifting, you also gave me a thorn. God, you gifted me. You gave me this package, but the thorn came with it. Here's the practical principle from the text. Your mountaintop experiences are necessary, but they're not always necessarily the best for you to remain in. God gives us mountaintop experiences so that we can learn from them. They are instructive, but the thorn is constructive. He gives this man a mountaintop experience. I don't know any. Let me not say that. There are plenty of books written out about people who said they went to heaven. It don't sound nothing like what. If they were humble enough, they would have went and saw Paul said, man, I was in heaven. That's things I couldn't even utter. But, you know, everybody that now falls asleep or get in a car accident and go to heaven, they got to write a book about it and make millions off of it. And it just so happened that none of those people have a thorn in the flesh either. They went to heaven and now, you know, they're making millions off of them going to heaven and writing a book about it. Okay. They're not following the Bible's example. So okay, we're not reading your book, brother. I'm sorry. I'm not paying the $5, $10, $2 for it. So you keep it. I only have 3 minutes left. So how do I get this out? You know, the most that you've ever had is not necessarily when God gave you the most of whatever you ever had, anything you ever wanted. Some of you guys come from where you left really good jobs. You came from really good places and you've submitted to come and follow the Lord. And you're like, man, I could have just stayed working at Taco Bell. No, I'm just kidding. No. I could have stayed active in making a whole bunch of money. But, you know, God knew that as good as it was for you or to you, it wasn't good for you. You weren't the best steward over God's resources when he gave it to you. You can say, man, I know it hurts. In God's love, he gives us a thorn in order to keep us growing. This thorn is a reminder of our dependence upon him. This thorn reveals our humanity. Bible says, without Jesus, we can do nothing. I know we don't say it every week, so oftentimes we forget it. Without him, we can do nothing. Don't curse your thorn, young people, but rather embrace it. Don't curse your weakness. Take it. Let me give you this final thought. I'll give you two thoughts, and then I'm just going to expound on one. Second thought here in the scripture. You must learn to live with what God will not take away. Some things happen in your life and to people around you that God is not going to change, but it's for you to be molded into the image of Christ. It's for you to receive God's grace and say, I can walk through this with Christ. You know the favorite scripture everybody quotes, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Just above that passage of scripture in context, he literally says in verse 11, in verse 12, he says, I've learned how to both suffer need and have a whole bunch. I've learned how to have lack, and I've learned how to be full and be empty. I've learned that whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. And then he attaches the passage there in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You got to learn how to embrace and accept what God will not change, young people. You'll get there one day, fold it up again, put it in your pocket. If you don't remember nothing else about the message, you'll remember. He said, fold it up, put it in our pocket, save it for later. Last thought, I'm done. I told you I'm going to give you a secret here. Last thought. I might have to preach 2 more hours. Here it is. No, I'm kidding. Verse 8, I'm done. Pastor Wilkinson wanted me to be done right now. Verse 8. Here we go. Learn. This is probably the most important thing for you guys. Learn to embrace the sufficiency of God's grace. He says, for the thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And God's response to him was, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Here's the application. My grace raises the playing field. That's literally the definition of sufficient. It actually raises the ground. My grace, what God is saying here to Paul is, my grace is equal to and better than a thornless life. So many people want to live a life without the thorn. Pastor Wilkerson, come get me, please. Say, no need. You say, Brother James, I don't need a thorn. Well, you can't be all that God wants you to be if you don't get one. The grace that God gives you, God, Pastor Wilkerson says it this way, it is God's divine help. It's God's exoskeleton. When you're weak, God is able to flex his strength. Here's the secret. I get people all the time come up to me and say, Brother James, man, that was a really nice message you gave. Really good, you know, thoughts you pulled out of the scripture. I don't know how you saw it there. And I really chuckle because I know myself. And I know that I have a problem where my mind is like constantly running. And I have a really difficult time putting all of my thoughts together. And so I come into this room with 10 pages of notes. You don't believe it. I come in every time I stand up to speak, whether it's teaching at the school on Tuesday night, whenever, if I'm preaching somewhere, I come in with pages and pages and pages of notes of all my thoughts. And then as I'm sitting in the platform in the pulpit, I'm literally sitting there drawing A, B, C. I'm literally drawing lines like, okay, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here. All I came to tell you is I don't stand here preaching in front of you today because I'm some excellent orator. I don't stand here speaking to you today because I went to school and I've got a PhD in theology or because I know all about preaching. I stand preaching to you today because of the grace of God. My weakness, most people can't see because God steps in and gives his strength. This morning, where are you at today? Are you too strong or are you willing to lean into your weakness? Pastor.